So Sondheim is the master of musical theatre because he really is using all of the faculties available to him. The lyrics of the songs are doing something, the melody is doing something, and the business, the acting, is doing something else, all in the cause of advancing the narrative. When it's good, it's really great, but it's a lot of work. It's incredibly complicated.
Yes, it is complicated. Working on this show in particular, this is about as good as it gets in terms of lyric writing, I think, in out of the entire genre of music theater. This is Sondheim at his finest. So we're always paying absolutely close attention to the lyrics because every single word needs to come out so the story is told. And these orchestrations really help that. It's a really small 8-piece orchestra, sort of a chamber version of this show. It just even serves the lyric.
Does it limit you in any way, the fact that the orchestra, because typically now, this is actually quite a big pit for a regional musical.
We did the 11-piece Sunday in the Park orchestrations here last season. But for here, it is a fairly big pit. The limitations are, you do lose some of the bigger moments, like in Weekend in the Country, but overall, you get certain pieces of this in the show that are really, really lend themselves well to this reduced treatment. Send in the Clowns, Every Day a Little Death. The orchestrator has used the instruments in this orchestration like incredibly inventively, and there's just so much variety and color, despite the fact that there's a greatly reduced orchestra compared to the original.
You mentioned Send in the Clowns, which Sondheim refers to as a medley of his greatest hit. there's some operas, notably, I think, Gianni Schicchi, for O Mia Bambina Caro, and Turandot for Nessun Dorma, where you almost feel like the audience is holding its breath for the big hit single section of the show. That's not really the case with Send in the Clowns, because nobody was aware that it was going to be a hit when the show originally came out. You must be holding your breath a little bit, knowing that certain people in the audience are not going to know that they're going to hear Send in the Clowns, or do you think pretty well everyone knows that it's there?
No, I think definitely have encountered some people who are like, wait, that's from that show? And then again, you get the people who are definitely waiting for like the big number, which is funny for a Sondheim show because that's not usually the case.
Well, aside from the stuff he wrote for West Side Story, there's very little else that's incredibly recognizable by him, right?
No, I know. Not in the sort of in the pop music world, "Send in the Clowns" is kind of it. Everybody knows that song. So I love imagining what people must be thinking when it's just sort of like in the middle of this scene, the song quietly starts, and then they realize they're hearing "Send in the Clowns."
And does the fact that it's well-known, does that in any way disrupt the narrative? Because it is, as with all Sondheim songs, doing a piece of work for the narrative. It's trying to explain that this woman is thinking about her relationship status and how she gets out of it or how she walks away.
Right.
Do you think that the fact that it is so well-known is distracting?
I mean, I would imagine that for some people that's sort of unavoidable, but I always find the song is sort of odd outside the context of the show. And it's only like, what do you mean? Like, what are we talking about with clowns, right? But in the context of the show, and Desiree being an actress and just their relationship, the song, the lyrics just make so much more sense, I think. It's always better in the show. So I would imagine for even those who only know it outside of the show, they would get a deeper appreciation for it. The things will really click for them about the song.
Sondheim, as we mentioned, doesn't have that many hits. Are there other songs, do you think, particularly in this show, that have the same instant pop-like quality of Send in the Clowns? Should there be more hits in the Sondheim canon?
I think it's a credit to Sondheim, actually, just the fact that he's so committed and devoted to like narrative that it is difficult to excerpt, to pull songs out of the show and to give them a life of their own, because they really do. They're sort of knit so closely or so well with the story and what comes before and after. I mean, Pacific Overtures, there's just nothing in there. And even Night Music, Send in the Clowns is like the only tune that could have a life, I think, as a separate song that was like other people would record.
Sondheim also talks about the idea of a love of the complex. You know, he says, oh, simple is really difficult to do. And complex can sometimes be more easy. So I'll sometimes take the easy route and make something really complicated. Is that obvious to you as you're trying to reproduce these songs?
I mean, there's a level of complexity and complication in the writing. He asks the singers to do a lot in terms of difficulty. But again, it always serves the story. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think one of his greatest gifts, especially as a lyricist, is to say incredibly profound, deep things with incredibly simple words, short words.
But even the sound of the words sometimes is important to how the song is delivered. Like if he puts a lot of S sounds in there, he almost wants a whispered quality. And if he puts very short staccato words in there, they're almost to be, you know, they almost suggest that they need to be louder. Do you have to be aware of that as you look at it?
Oh,
Or is just listening to other people's recordings? How do you deal with those intricacies?
But when you look at the score, it's very easy to see what he's getting at in terms of that. If you see, that he's, I mean, everything's so carefully chosen. Like in Weekend in the Country, if you have a lyric like A Weekend in the Country, how amusing, how delightfully droll. So delightfully droll is a lyric that you obviously have to, you have to make sure that they're really getting them, their money's
worth
out of
that. Throw it away, yeah.
Right. And then again, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have Sending the Clowns with Isn't It Rich? It's just like, it's almost just like talking, right? So there you go for a really conversational approach. And then in Weekend in the Country and other songs, you go for a really elevated, heightened approach to diction, for example.
And even with the end of Don't Worry They're Here, it almost has to be thrown away.
Right, right. All of that stuff is just...
That whole thing I just sang is irrelevant.
You're right, that's right, exactly.
How do you explain that then to singing actors? Or is there a lot of talking, or is everything they need to know also on the page?
Well, I mean, it may be on the page, but I definitely take it on myself to tell them all of this. This is exactly the kind of thing that that we work on.
Line by line.
Yes, line by line. I really think everything... It is all there on the page. You can feel him asking for, like, he's almost like directing the show from the page, you know. Stage action is implied just by the lyric.
And then in a situation where you have a certain idea about a piece of business, say, and the director has another idea, how do you reconcile those two things? Because clearly if the thing has been driven by music, you're the boss, right?
Yeah, right. And I'm going to quote you on that. Well, Terry and I work really well together, and we have that kind of understanding. Obviously, he's like the boss.
And he also has a relationship with Sondheim, right?
Yeah, yeah. But Terry gets it. He understands what needs to be done.
And are there particular instances where you've said, oh, well, where he's come to you and said, well, I saw Stephen and I go back, and I've spoken to him about this scene.
And, oh, no.
Never like that, okay.
It never happens like that.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.